Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
As Pastor Tara indicated last week, today's scripture reading continues to follow the Revised Common Lectionary, which recommends combining several scripture passages to guide our lesson. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4 and 19 through 28, detailing the trials of Jacob, or Israel. But now focusing on his many sons born of his four wives. These young men, these brothers, are destined to become the patriarchs for the 12 tribes or clans of the fledgling nation of Israel. Here begins the reading. Jacob lived in the land of Canaan, where his father was an immigrant. This is the account of Jacob's descendants. Joseph was 17 years old when he tended the flock with his brothers. While he was helping the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, Joseph told their father unflattering things about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was born when Jacob was old. Jacob had made for him a long robe. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of his brothers, they hated him and couldn't even talk nicely to him. The brothers said to each other, "Here comes the big dreamer. Come on now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns, and we'll say a wild animal devoured him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." When Reuben heard what they said, he saved him from them, telling them, "Let's not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Don't spill his blood. Throw him into this desert cistern, but don't lay a hand on him." He intended to save Joseph from them and take him back to his father. Joseph reached his brothers. They stripped off Joseph's long robe, took him, and threw him into the cistern, an empty cistern with no water in it. When they sat down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with camels carrying sweet resin, medicinal resin, and fragrant resin on their way down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What do we gain if we kill our brother and hide his blood? Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's not harm him because he's our brother. He's family." His brothers agreed. When some of the Midianites traders passed by, they pulled Joseph up out of the cistern. They sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. The New Testament reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 10 through 13, in which the Apostle Paul writes, "Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. The scripture says, 'All who have faith in him won't be put to shame.' There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives richly to all who call on him. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved." And finally, the gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came, and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. But when Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged, it's me, don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Who here has ever been on a first date? Who here has ever been on a bad first date? Who here never wants to go on a first date ever again? Amen. Yes, most of the same hands go up, right? What do you talk about on a first date? Usually the pleasantries, what do you do for a living, etc. But eventually, if you want to get to know someone really well, you might start asking them things like, "What is your favorite so-and-so?" You find out they like music, well, what is your favorite artist? Or they like sports. What is your favorite sport to play or to watch? We actually did this as well in VBS. On Monday, we played the silent ball game where you can only talk when you have this little foam ball. It's very effective. And you toss the ball to someone else and ask them a question. And when they catch it, they answer. And most of the questions are things like, "What is your favorite color? What is your favorite movie?" That sort of thing. And we tend to like to ask people their favorites because we can learn a whole lot in just a short amount of time about a person by asking them what their favorite things are, right? For example, I remember learning a lot about Julie Andrews and The Sound of Music when she sang about all of her favorite things. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Ah, Julie, so you are detail-oriented, all right? And bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. So it's important for you to stay warm, understood? Brown paper packages tied up with strings. So your love language is gift giving. You see how much you can learn about somebody by just learning about a few of their favorite things. You can also quickly identify with another person. You know, if you share a lot of their favorite activities or interests, it can go the other way too. You can figure out very quickly that you're not as likely to get along with another person by knowing their favorite things. Today, one of the first things that we learn about Joseph, who's also known as Israel, is that he loved his son Joseph more than the others. Joseph was his favorite thing, his favorite son. Because Jacob favored Joseph, he made for him a coat. I like the King James Version better. It calls it a coat of many colors, which is a term Dolly Parton would later make very famous about a coat that her mother made for her. There have been scholarly debates about exactly what this coat of many colors signifies about Joseph. Some say that his garment must have been expensive because it was made with lots of dyes and different colors. So that signified that Joseph had a prominence among his siblings. Some say that the coat has something to do with identity, that he was more of a gentleman who preferred domestic life to more masculine activities, just as his father, Jacob, did as a youth. So if we know that Jacob's favorite son is Joseph, we can know he's probably a lot like his father. And I say no matter the reason for the coat of many colors, it certainly signifies Jacob's favorite son. That we can be sure of. And that can tell us a lot about both Jacob and Joseph in a short amount of time. Remember last week I told you that Jacob was born into a social system that determined one's destiny based upon their birth order. Jacob changed his destiny by obtaining his elder brother's birthright through deception. Later, Jacob himself was deceived by his uncle and seriously humbled by his love of Rachel. And right before Jacob was to reconcile with his brother Esau, he wrestled all night with an angelic figure. At daybreak, he was renamed Israel, because it means to wrestle with God, and made father to a nation. So a greater birthright than he even swindled out of his brother. But that came at a cost. He had a limp for the rest of his life. So now this week we're introduced to Joseph. He's also not the eldest son. In fact, he's next to the youngest. We see that Jacob favors him, likely because he's the son of his favorite wife, and possibly because Joseph reminds him of himself. We know Jacob doesn't value the birthright system, and this coat is an indicator that Joseph, and not the eldest son, will receive his father's blessing and inherit the nation of Israel, the kingdom. But if this story is to be repeated, and Joseph is a lot like Jacob, then Jacob's favorite son will also be humbled before he is exalted. We can learn a lot about Joseph just by knowing that he is favored. We know he's smart, sensitive, and certainly about to be put through the ringer. His brothers, they didn't like that he was favored very much. They decided to kill him, but they chose instead to sell him into slavery to these other people called the Egyptians. Friends, pay attention to how this story mirrors the story of Joseph from the book of Exodus, which we will read next month. The favorite son goes from heir to the nation of Israel to a slave in a foreign country. The favored son lost his favor through the deceit of his brothers, just as Esau lost his favor through the deceit of Jacob. My, how the chickens have come home to roost. But if this story is to mirror Jacob, we know that Joseph will be redeemed through humility and perseverance, just like Jacob. So I encourage you to tune in next week for, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. And now we'll see how Peter fits into all of this. We have Peter in the Gospel of Matthew. Jacob had 12 sons who all wanted to be the favorites. Jesus had 12 disciples who argued incessantly amongst themselves over who would be the favorite disciple. They didn't say favorite, they said the greatest. They equated favor with greatness, something we still do today, I might add. Last week, we discussed the purpose of the Gospel of Matthew is to demonstrate how Jesus is the continuation and fulfillment of the laws of the Torah. Therefore, the gospel is divided into 5 parts that reflect the 5 books of Moses. The first part connects Jesus to the line of Abraham. the announcement of the new kingdom of God and new teachings, also called the Sermon on the Mount. The second part brings Jesus' teachings into the lives of hurting, broken people. The third section is a collection of stories about how people responded to the teachings of Jesus. Some who did believe he was the anointed one, and others who absolutely did not. And the fourth section begins with our scripture today in chapter 14. The stage for conflict has been set in the first three sections, just as the stage for conflict has been set up with Joseph and his brothers. And now we begin to see in the Gospel of Matthew how this conflict is going to play out. And right in the middle of all of this is Peter. Oh, Peter. One of the 12 disciples, arguably the most vocal and impulsive of them all. He wasn't alone in wanting to be the favorite. They all coveted that title. Even though Jesus told them repeatedly, I might add, that his kingdom will not play favorites. And in fact, that they need to be careful what they wish for. Because later on, he says the first will be last and the last shall be first. But before they know that, Jesus is up on a mountain praying, and the disciples got caught up in a terrible windstorm on their boat. In what is arguably one of the most dramatic scenes of the gospel, Jesus walks out to the boat on top of the water. They thought he was a ghost, and I don't blame them. But Jesus called out to them. They heard his voice. Now, I have a slightly different interpretation this morning of Peter's decision to get out of the boat. And I want to say that this interpretation does not negate any of the other sermons or interpretations about Peter's faith. I just see it a little differently this morning. This morning, I read it as Peter almost daring Jesus to make him also walk on water. Surely, this supernatural act would give him a leg up on the other disciples, pun intended. If he could walk on water, well, wouldn't he definitely be called the favorite disciple? Now, I think that in this text that Jesus humored him for a little bit. For a moment, he let him do it, only for Peter to then be humbled by sinking into the water. You man of weak faith, to me, this morning is Jesus telling Peter he doesn't need supernatural power or fame or even favoritism to be close to Jesus. If anything, his desire for favoritism only put him right in the middle of a storm. The lesson I take from these stories, friends, is that when we wrestle with favor, it never ends well. Whether it is the desire for the favor or jealousy of the favor, it is always a losing battle. Time and time again, we see in our scriptures that favor is not about a title or a birthright or flashy garments or whether we can do supernatural things. In fact, our scripture tells us when we believe that we are the favored one, it only leads us into a storm. When we believe that we can walk on water, we sink. On the other hand, when we allow jealousy to overcome our senses and our better angels, we do harm. Jesus knew this. He saw it all played out. He saw it also played out in the Hebrew scriptures. So he decided to teach a better way. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. In the book of Romans, Paul says it this way: all who have faith in him won't be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives richly to all who call on him. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved. In about two more chapters in this fourth part of the Gospel of Matthew, Peter's name also changes to the Rock, upon which Jesus says he will build his church. He doesn't get this title because he walked on water, but because he was the one who called Jesus the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one in which we are all one, who takes that favoritism out of the equation. Jacob didn't inherit his father's land because he stole his birthright. He became the father to a greater nation after struggle and humility. Joseph didn't do great things because of his coat of many colors. He does it because he dares to dream. And we'll learn more about that next week. And Peter, he doesn't become the Rock because he could walk on water. He became the Rock because he knew Jesus was the Messiah. Maybe sometimes it's that simple, friends. It's that simple. Amen.